Blessing upon the next service.
Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee that thou hast called us to this great and high calling. We know that we are nothing worthy. We know that the robe is provided by thy dear Son, and that it is his righteousness that makes us acceptable to thee. But we thank thee that we have come to an appreciation of that robe, that righteousness, the righteousness which is of thee in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the spirit of the truth which thou hast given us. And now, Father, we thank thee for the dear brethren who have assembled in this place to hear thy word and to feast upon the things which thou hast opened up to us in this last day, and we are indeed supping with the Master. We pray, Father, that thou wilt bless the dear brother who will now speak to us, and that our hearts may be attuned to the truth, so that we will recognize it, know the truth, that the truth indeed might make us free. We thank thee for all these things. Be with us for the rest of the day. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Harwood has used the subject of the Lord's presence, and we appreciate that doctrine. The next service, Brother Zeno will use the subject of strong delusions. Appreciate Brother Zeno and his activity among the brethren for so many years, serving faithfully as a pilgrim, and I'm sure that many of us can personally testify to the help that we've received through his ministry. And I'm sure that the Lord will again use him as a blessing and a help and encouragement to us. Brother Zeno will now speak on strong delusions.
My subject for this afternoon is found in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Reprint 2:2-7-4. Second Thessalonians 2:8-12. My dearly beloved in the Lord, I believe our subject for this afternoon is timely. Never in all history has there been so much distress with perplexity. Never has been so much corruption in the earth. The earth is filled with fear. The earth reels to and fro and staggers like a drunken man. And it is because of delusions, strong delusions. And oh, how our pastor, in interpreting our text, tells us it would be in the church during his parousia. And we as new creatures need to fear it the most, because during his presence, these delusions would be among and in around the new creation. God shall send them strong delusions, that they shall believe a lie. Many of them actually believe that it is the truth, even if it is out of harmony with the harvest message and the Word of God. And St. Paul said that they might be condemned, judged as unfit, unworthy of a place in the high calling in the kingdom. Therefore, not believing on the teachings of the truth as they had received it at one time, they have pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 11:12. They shall be consumed with the spirit of his mouth. Emphasize that, with the spirit of his mouth. And shall be destroyed with the brightness of his parousia, his presence. And isn't it true? His presence to the new creation, those that remain on this side of the veil, his brightness is getting brighter and brighter constantly. And everything that's hidden shall be made manifest. It shall be revealed so as by fire. Manifest, revealed, yes. The Lord said he comes as a thief, quiet, unobserved, stealthily, as a thief in the night. Look around about you. What are you seeing take place upon the earth? Suddenly, there it is, open. All can behold it. Everything that's hidden shall be made manifest, for this day shall declare it. It shall be revealed so as by fire. That's right. These are features of Armageddon that you see in the earth today. 1915, our pastor was asked about this in Pittsburgh. I was there. And he said, these things are merely features of Armageddon. The real Armageddon is a finale. It will finally come, brethren. The seventh trump is sounding. The kings have had their day. The seventh trump is the last trump. It's the trump of God. And it is sounding throughout the earth for justice, freedom, and liberty. And everywhere in the earth, mankind is clamoring for justice, freedom, and liberty. And it keeps on sounding. It'll sound for 1,000 years. Let us remember, brethren, what took place in number 16. 250 princes were destroyed. Who were they? They were men of renown, highly esteemed among the Israelites. Their wives and children were swallowed up into death because they murmured against God's mouthpieces, Moses and Aaron. Who selected Moses and Aaron? Our kind Heavenly Father. They murmured against His selection. We have the same thing today. The end of the age. Get your eyes open. Who were they? Oh, they were men of renown, highly esteemed among the people. So it is today. Men that's highly esteemed among the Lord's people are those that have these strong delusions. If it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. The earth opened itself and swallowed them up. Oh, yes. They were famous, but their murmuring came before God, because God selected them. Who selected that faithful and wise servant? Who art thou that repliest against God? Where did you get the truth? It's shameful to hear some talk today. I don't want you even to mention His name. Ah, friends, we're living in the most momentous day in all the history of the church. Yes, I'm sure you will say that is true. Murmur against God and Christ. When they're murmuring against the truth, that faithful and wise servant. What is a delusion? A delusion is error, which when examined is not the truth. Many of these theories and ideas that you hear about, if you examine them, they're not the truth. Men's ideas. They're dangerous. They're dangerous because they becloud and falsify the truth. And finally they bring disaster, like in number 16, reread it. When a person is in the truth, and is deluded, they think they are right. And There is, or a measure, perhaps, of sincerity displayed by these folks. But after all, if you examine it carefully, it's not the truth. There are many kinds of delusions, brethren. Political delusions. Financial delusions. Religious delusions everywhere upon the earth. The earth is filled with delusions. Again, I saw this plainly exemplified in coming from Florida to this convention. It's my privilege to serve a funeral in Alabama. And old dear Brother Horn, been in the truth for 50 years and more. Loyal, faithful brother. But we were permitted to have the Baptist church. And again, I heard this thing before the service and after the service and during the week that I stayed there, that men of the cloth, religious men, constantly would preach, "Oh, I wish I had the power to take the word death out of the Bible." They'd like to take the word death out of the Bible. Because they say there is no death. Your Bible and my Bible and their Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation that the wages of sin is death. In preaching and teaching, what they do is lying about God, making out God a liar. Everywhere in the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. These strong delusions are everywhere. Won't it be grand when it's all done away with? When all mankind will know the truth, so the truth may make them free? Two other funerals I had, but I can't tell you about them now. Perhaps sometime. Miracles practically performed. My dearly beloved, let us beware of all these delusions in the church and out of the church. Yes, it is true that mankind today do not believe in the Word of God, very few. Because they do not believe in death. The delusions among God's people, I believe, are direct from the adversary, Satan. 2 Corinthians 11:14, 15. Don't marvel, brethren, for Satan himself has transformed himself as an angel of light. Therefore it be no strange thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Why, brethren, the Lord has thousands and thousands, Satan has thousands and thousands of ministers here upon the earth, who has transformed themselves as ministers of righteousness. And oh, how fearful it is when one of the Lord's people are overcome by delusions, passing them around among the Lord's people, those that are consecrated. Shame on you. You ought to get on your knees and ask the Lord to forgive you. Who is selecting the brethren to do the work? God Almighty. And you murmur and complain about it? Then you're murmuring and complaining against God. The harvest message stands firm. You cannot change it, and I cannot change it. Let us hold fast to the message as we have received it. Received it in good and honest hearts. Let us continue in this wonderful message we have. These folks are clamoring for liberty. Yes. They'd sooner have their liberty than the truth. Therefore, they make a lie, create a lie, and believe it, and teach it. And some of these highly esteemed in the church are constantly finding fault with the translations that we have, and interpreting the scriptures their way. Yes, this is my thought. This is my idea. And so on. Comes a delusion, friends. They're deluded, and they would like to delude others. And it comes in the most deceitful form. They fall prey to it. Yes, indeed. In Psalms 24:2, we read, "Who shall ascend into the hill, the kingdom? Who shall stand in the holy place?" Let me ask you a question, brethren. What is the holy place? It's the secret place of the Most High. There's where we live and move and have our being. There's where we study the truth and have the truth in the holy of the tabernacle. Oh, how grand it is to remain there. Stand in the holy place. Do you think you could stand in the holy place if you were teaching delusions? Do you think that you could stand in the holy place, in the secret place of the Most High, if you had a chip on your shoulder? If you were finding fault with the brethren that are doing the work? And start something of your own? Do you think you could stay in the secret place of the Most High? Sooner or later, it'll happen like Jesus told us about in Matthew 22nd, the parable of the marriage feast. Reread it, please reread it. Matthew 22, the 10th verse, the Lord came in, the King came in, the presence of Christ. And there he saw a class, a man, not having on the wedding garment, in the secret place of the Most High. But he didn't stay there long. No, and the Lord spake to him, and he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on the wedding garment?" He'd already discarded his wedding garment, the things that he was teaching. "How camest thou in hither, in this banqueting hall?" Jesus then said to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness." Outer darkness? Yes. Well, where did he come from in the first place? He came out of darkness into the Lord's marvelous light. But now he's cast into outer darkness. He never was in outer darkness, but he came out of darkness. And so did you. So did I. Now let us beware that we're not cast into outer darkness. That's the parable of the marriage feast. That's the danger. With a love in my heart for all of you, and as long as I've been with you, I feel that there should be a warning on these delusions. Think it over with me, brethren. Those who are opposing others who are doing the work, shame on you. All that are in the truth today claim to be in the truth, should uphold the truth and not oppose it. And if one becomes a bitter spirit and has a bitter spirit, they should be very careful. Oh, I see it right along. Bitter spirit. How can anyone stay in the most holy or the holy with a bitter spirit? And those that have clean hands, yes, those that have clean hands, let us, friends, be very humble before the Lord, never exalting ourselves. Oh, no. But in simplicity and in truth, walking before the Lord, upholding the banner of truth, and simply teaching the truth. Not for the praise of men, those that have pure hearts, pure motive in their heart. They are glorifying God. Romans 5, 1-12. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Shed abroad in our hearts the love of God by the Holy Spirit, which God has given unto us. 2 Corinthians 6:6. Love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and unfeigned, undissembled faith. That's what the Lord likes to see in us. Then we can be strong in the Lord in the power of might. Ephesians 6:10. Take unto yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in this evil day. It means the whole armor of God. You couldn't fight bareheaded if you were in the army. You couldn't fight barehanded. You couldn't fight barefooted. You must have on the whole armor of God, not a half an armor, but the whole armor. Yes. Then we can exalt His holy name in our bodies and spirits which are His, and glorify His name. Then we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. There's one scripture I'd like to leave with you, friends, and let us use it often. It's short, but it's sweet. Take your pencil and jot it down. Psalm 71:1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Confusion and then delusions follow. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? Don't you think we ought to hold close to our hearts a prayer like this? Let me reread it. Psalm 71:1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never, never be put to confusion. I pray, Lord, add His blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Zano, for reminding us scriptural admonition of strong delusions. Well, let us be on guard against these. Let us now close this service. Use hymn 258, the first and last verse. Rise on the last verse. Intermission of a half hour and reconvene again at 3:30 for a testimony meeting. Now we'll ask Brother Zano to lead us in prayer, closing this service.
Our loving Father, we draw nigh unto Thee because Thou hast said if we would draw nigh unto Thee, Thou wouldst draw nigh unto us, and we claim that promise. We thank Thee, Father, for all the way that Thou hast led us. We thank Thee for the truth and the light which shines upon our pathway. We thank Thee for this marvelous light that Thou hast given unto us and becomes greater and grander, constantly more beautiful. Oh, Father, we thank Thee for it, and we pray that we may remain in this light and never be cast into outer darkness. Because in Thee, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray Thy divine blessing upon each heart here assembled at this convention. Bless them, Father, in the days to come. May they receive the spiritual food in good and honest hearts, that it may bear fruit in all our lives. Help us, dear Father, to be fully reconciled to Thee and to be fully reconciled to one another, to be fully reconciled to the message of the truth. The word truth means so much to us, Father. Bless each heart. not only those that have come with us to attend here, but those that we've left at home. Bless them also and all our brethren throughout the earth. Help us to stand firm with the truth, with Thee in Christ, and with our brethren. Help us to look to Thee, Father, for all these spiritual truths and spiritual blessings. Yes, Father, with mercy and truth bound around about us, and with the girdle of truth, help us to serve the truth, to honor the truth, and bring honor to the truth and to the truth brethren. And now, bless us as we further wait before Thee at this convention, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.